And I'm sure that that's what we're all here for today. We were invited to come last year. Unfortunately, my wife had difficult medical problems, but we're here this year. And through it all, God has been good. God is good all the time. Whether we're on the mountaintop or in the valley, if you're His child, He's good. And that's what serving God is all about. This morning, as we've gathered here, and I was thinking even last evening, with all of the inclement weather, and there were so many people, even as you're here today, but I think there was more last night. And I thought, you know, what is this conference all about? Is it not just for food, physical food, fellowship, which is great, but it's spiritual food. We're gathered here today as, and for this period of time, as a family of God. And we need spiritual food in our lives. We can't go very long without physical food, can we? We're at it 3 or 4 times a day. That's the way that we need to be with our spiritual food in order to grow, in order to do what God has called us to do, to live our lives for Him and for His service. And this morning, I want to share with you from God's Word and trust that our hearts as His children might be challenged afresh today to live our lives pleasing to our God. Because as I look around, and you and I are in the same world as I am, I see a world that is deteriorating unbelievably fast. And I find that the world is getting into the church. And when I say the church, God's people, we're being overwhelmed. We're being sort of sucked into a vacuum. And it's taking our minds, our attention, and many times our hearts away from the things of God and what God would have us do and be in His life. You're living in this world as well as I am. And we see it. It is most obvious. And I see it more and more as the years go by. And in my travels of life. And in meeting different ones and hearing what's happening around us. I see happening something that reminds me of a fish that I never really liked. An octopus. We've seen them a lot. We see them a lot in the Bahamas. And you see this octopus with his tentacles, and he stretches it out, and it doesn't just go in one direction, but it's going in various directions, and it's roaring. And this is what's happening today. The world is reaching out its tentacles and is reaching into the churches and reaching into the hearts and lives of God's people. And slowly but surely, it's drawing our hearts and minds away from the things of God. And what God demands in your life and mine today more than anything else is that we be obedient to His Word. If we're going to live a Christian life, a life that is pleasing to God, a life that the world might see Jesus Christ living in us, not just one day out of the week, but every day of the week, 7 days a week, 168 hours a week, we have to live our lives pleasing to God so that the world will see Jesus Christ and Him alone living in you and I. We have to be obedient to God. And this morning, this is what I want to share with you that God has laid on my heart. A call to obedience. A call to obedience. I'm going to read this morning from 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15, it's a familiar story. We've heard it many times. And I'm not going to read the entire chapter because it's quite lengthy, but I want to read the particular verses out of it. 1 Samuel chapter 15, and in verse 2, it says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." Verse 9. "But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused, that they destroyed utterly. This is the result. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night." Go down to verse 16. This is after Samuel pays a visit to Saul, and he hears the bleating of the sheep. He says, "Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be destroyed. Wherefore thou didst not obey the voice of the Lord." That's the problem. That's the problem. And it's a problem that's prevalent today all over the world. In Spanish Wales, in Abaco, wherever you go. We want to do our own thing. We don't want to pay attention to what God says. We don't want to listen at what God says. "Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord?" And here is the response that Saul gave, and it's familiar. And we all do it at some time or the other in our lives. "Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord." Who is he kidding? Who are we kidding? You can fool me, you can fool somebody else, we can fool the preacher, but you can't fool God. And we need to remember that. We can't fool God. Saul says, "I obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I've gone the way which the Lord has sent me." And notice verse 21. The resistance to accountability. The resistance to accountability. He says, "But the people took of the spoil, the sheep and the oxen, the chief of the things which should have been destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." And these are two verses that I think we should really read and think about carefully. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, look, look, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken or listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Beloved, if it is one thing this morning that I think that we should fully understand, is that disobedience to God will result in consequences. Disobeying God's word in your life and mine will result in consequences. As born-again believers, you and I who've been saved by His precious blood, you and I who have been called by Him from the power of sin to the power of God, whose lives have been changed, we must recognize the fact that we are called to serve. We are called to serve. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. We, if we're called by God, if we're His child, He has called us to serve, to do something for Him. There's something in your life, in my life, that we're called to do for Him. He is our master. And we are expected to be obedient to His word. Romans 6:22 says, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God." Being made free from sin and become servants to God. If you're in this service this morning and you're a born-again Christian, you're free from sin, but you're also a servant to our God. We don't like that idea sometimes. We want to do our own thing. We want to go our own way. We want to do as we please. But remember, if you're a child of God, you're a servant of God. Don't try to run away from it. Don't try to run away from it. He says, "You have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." Unfortunately, the opposite has happened as we read through the scriptures. And it is still happening today, even in this day in which we live. As we read the scriptures this morning, this was not the first time that we read of disobedience in God's word. We go back to the beginning of time. We go back to Genesis chapter 3. And there we find the very first case of man's disobedience to God. God made Adam and Eve and He placed them in the garden and He gave them specific instructions. But what happened? What happened? Well, Eve played the game. And Adam took the blame. He played the game and Adam took the blame because he was looked upon as the leader, the one in charge. And he was the one that God held responsible. And sad to say, when we read Romans chapter 5 and verse 19, here is what it says. "For as by one man's disobedience..." You ever think about that? "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." Many were made sinners. How sad. Because of one man's disobedience, that's why the world is in such a condition it is today. You see, disobedience to God has its consequences, my friend. It has its consequences. When Eve took up that fruit and took it to Adam and Adam ate of that fruit, it was total disobedience to God and it broke the relationship with God. And God put a curse upon men, and it's even to this day, man is suffering from the disobedience. God's judgment. And down through the race, the human race, we see it over and over and over again. And I just don't understand, but I suppose it's human nature. Why, when we take the Word of God, and we study the Word of God, and we see over and over and over again, when men disobey God, the consequences that happens in their lives, and yet you and I so often are willing to go against God, willing to forget all about God's Word to our hearts and lives, disobey His commandments. And then when things begin to go wrong in our life, the first thing that we cry out is, "Why me, God? Why me, God?" We need to check our lives. We need to check our lives. Examine our lives and find out what's going wrong. What's happening? Are we being disobedient to God? We fail in God's commands. And beloved, the Bible tells us in James, chapter 4 and verse 17, James 4:17, and these are words that we should keep ringing in our heads, ringing in our hearts and in our minds. Therefore, to him, that includes you, that includes me, that includes whomsoever God has called into his service, therefore, to him that knoweth to do what? Good. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good. Do you know how to do good? As we examine our lives as Christians, do we know how to do good? Do we know the difference between good and evil? Do we understand the difference between right and wrong? If we don't, we better. If we don't, we better. James says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. The Bible says that in this passage of Scripture that I read, especially in verses 21 through 23, God places a very high priority on our obedience. God places a very high priority on our obedience. And we need to remember this as we live lives that we profess to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. There is a high priority placed on our listening at His Word, on our being obedient to the call in our lives, on our doing what He has hatched us to do, on our being careful of the lives that we live, of the things that we do, the places we go, the words that we say. Remember, God is old enough responsible for our lives. And He demands obedience. I was thinking of Moses this morning again as I was going over this message. Moses was a great man of God. Moses was groomed by God for 120 years, and then He gave him the responsibility of taking the children of Israel out of Egypt into the promised land. But Moses made one mistake. God said, "Speak to the rock." And Moses hit the rock with his rod. And as a result of that one moment of disobedience, God said to Moses, "I'll let you see the promised land, but you won't get in." How's that? Moses, I'll let you see the promised land, something that you've been living toward, working toward all of these years, but you're not going in. You didn't obey my voice. How's that? But that tells me that God places a great responsibility on my life and on your life, to be obedient to Him and to follow His Word. No, we're not going to be perfect. We're not going to be perfect, but God will give you and I the strength that we need, the judgment, the wisdom to live our lives according to His will. But it has to be upon us, you and I. We have to have the desire in our hearts and lives to let our lives and light shine for Jesus Christ. In Matthew, we are the light that's set on a hill. We are the salt of the earth. And what good is the light if it's put under a bushel? What good is a salt if it's lost its savor? You and I are the ambassadors to Jesus Christ, and we have to live our lives pleasing to Him. Pleasing to Him to be examples for others. And we need to remember this. We need to remember that God said to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. Listen. What happens when we falter, when we fail, when we do things that aren't pleasing to God, and we all do, but we find that there is a broken relationship in our lives with Jesus Christ. We find that we lose our interest. We find that there are just things that we don't care about anymore as far as the things of God are concerned. We're out of the will of God. We'll lose the joy of the Lord out of our lives. And it's possible. It's possible. Maybe you're in this service this morning and you've lost the joy of the Lord out of your life because you're not doing what God has asked you to do. You're not being the man, the woman, the boy, the girl that God has called you to be. You're not walking in fellowship with them, and the joy of the Lord has left you and you're miserable. You have to be miserable when you once experience the joy of the Lord in your life, the peace of God that passes all understanding, and then you have a broken relationship. You have to be miserable. You're not enjoying the things of God as you should. David realized this in Psalm 51, verse 12. He wrote, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." It's a sad commentary to make, but it is a fact. And it happens in many lives. And I trust this morning that it is not happening in the lives of any of you and I that are here. Then we ask the question, does God care whether we do or we don't? Oh, yes, He does. Does He know? Oh, yes, He does. He knows, the Scripture tells us. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, it says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout all the earth. In Matthew 10:29, He sees the sparrow fall. He says the very hairs of our head numbered. He knows all about you, my friend. Don't think for a moment. Don't think for a moment that you're going to be disobedient to God and go off on your own tangent of life. And He's just going to sit back and say, "Why?" Okay? Let Him go. No. He knows. He knows. He knows who you are. He knows what your life is like. He knows what He's called you to do, what He's called you to say. He knows exactly the path that you're taking this morning as you sit in this service. And He's saying to you right now, search your heart. And I pray, oh God, challenge hearts today that we're obedient to His will and to His way. Because I want to tell you something on the authority of God's Word and on the things that I have seen in my life, the experiences of my life. And I've been a believer for many years. And I've seen many things happen. But beloved, listen, God will not allow you and I to continue on being disobedient to His Word and not listening at what He has said and allow us to continue. He will chastise. He will chastise you. And beloved, sometimes it's very strong. Sometimes it's very strong. Why does He do so? Because He loves you. He chastises His children because He loves you and I. And I thank God this morning for that love of God that is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. That love of God that reached beyond the highest mountain and into the lowest hell. That love of God this morning, if you're His child, that lives and abides in your heart and life. And we should be a happy, thankful people today. If you have that love of God. God loves you. God loves you. He loves us. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, it says, "For whom the Lord loveth us. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and He scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." What do you think would happen in your life and mine as believers if God didn't chastise us? What do you think would happen if He allowed us to go on and on and on in our own way? What do you think? He tries to stop us, I know, many times, and we still don't stop. That's when it gets really bad. He'll turn you around. We as parents have children, and if it's one thing that we ask, mind you, I don't see a lot of it happening today like it was when I was a little boy. Perhaps the older ones of us that are here can remember that. You were obedient to your parents. You were obedient to those on the outside, because if you weren't, you know what's going to happen when you got home. And the reason it happened is because your parents loved you. And they wanted you to have the respect for them and for others. They wanted you to grow up into the right atmosphere with the right attitude in life. And thus they correct you. That's what God wants. God doesn't want you and I who profess to know Him running around living lives that are exactly like the world and doing what the world is doing and saying that we're His children. Absolutely not. He wants us to honor Him. He wants us to love Him, to respect Him, and to serve Him. And not just with a part of our lives, but with all of our lives. We sing that song, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender all to Him, I freely give. How much of my life, how much of your life are we willing to surrender to Jesus Christ today? The songwriter says, all to Jesus. Have you surrendered all of your life to Jesus Christ today? Are you living a life that's pleasing to Him? Are you being obedient to His Word? That's the question this morning. We see a picture of this, and as I read through the Word, I think the story of Jonah, and if you care to, you can turn with me into the book of Jonah, because I'm going to go there for a while. I see a picture in the book of Jonah of basically what is happening in the world today. Yes, I've said it's happened before. It has happened since the beginning of time, but it seems to be getting worse with each passing day. I want you to look at what's happening here in the life of Jonah. The Bible tells us the word of the Lord came unto Jonah in verse 1, the son of Amittai, saying, here's what he said, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. That's great. That's wonderful. God has called him. God has given him a mandate. I want you to go to Nineveh to preach the gospel. Their wickedness has come up before me. God has called you. God has called you. God has called me. He's given us a mandate in our lives. What are we doing about it? What are you doing about it? What am I doing about it? Well, you might say yes, but I can't stand up there and preach like you're doing. That's irrelevant. I can't sing like they sing in the choir. That's irrelevant. All God asks you to do today is to live a life that is pleasing to Him. Be obedient to His Word. When you go out there where the rubber meets the road, let Jesus Christ be seen and heard in your life every day. That's what it's all about. But you know something? So many times we get just like Jonah. You know, there's a lot of conversation made about Jonah. There's a lot of arguments about how big the fish was and did the fish really swallow him and all of this stuff. That's irrelevant. The story is not about the fish. The story is about... That's what it's all about. God said, Jonah, I want you to go down to Nineveh. What did Jonah do? The Bible says that he ran from God. He ran from God. Oh, beloved, you can't run from God. No matter how hard you may try, no matter how far you may go, nothing matters. You cannot run from God. And if you're running from God this morning because of some problem in your life, some circumstance in your life, stop running. Stop running. You're not getting anywhere. You can't run from God. Because He is omnipotent. He knows all. He is in control of every facet of your life and mine this morning. In control of it all. Oh, we don't like that. We don't like to hear that stuff. I'm in control of my life. Nonsense. One breath and you could be in eternity. One breath. And you could be in eternity. And I've had many things happen in my life, and maybe I've shared this with you before. But things that have just been stamped into my mind, that is constantly there, that I don't forget. Many years ago, I happened to be in a PTA meeting at one of the places that I worked at. We were sitting together, a group of us, and the school wasn't functioning very properly. And there was a man sitting in the very front seat of me, and I will never forget. as long as I live. And he stood up to say something. I noticed the back of his neck turn red. And before he could get one word out of his mouth, he dropped in the floor before me dead. Dead. You know better than that man? I know better than that man. You and I today are one breath away from eternity. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul says that we're going to leave this scene and in a moment we're going to be face to face with Jesus Christ. And I wonder this morning, as God's Spirit challenges your heart, should you drop dead now and you open your eyes in the presence of Jesus Christ, what are you going to say now? The songwriter says, what will my answer be? What will I say? When you look in the face of Jesus, the one who loves you, the one who was willing to die to pay the penalty of our sins in Calvary. And I can picture him this morning with his arms outstretched in that old rugged cross. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I love them still. He was willing to die, but you're going to look in his face. What will you say? What will your answer be? You're right in the middle of doing something that you shouldn't be doing. You're right in the middle of saying something you shouldn't be saying. You're right in the middle of watching something you shouldn't be watching. You just walked out of the choir because you got mad about something. Give up on God. You give up on everything else in church. You don't want to be a part of it any longer. Whatever it may be in your life. And in a moment you could be face to face with Jesus Christ. No, what will our answer be? What will our answer be? God said, Jonah, I want you to go. I want you to go and preach to Nineveh. Beloved, whenever there is a call in our lives, there is a reason. When God called you and I, when He saved us by His grace, when He changed our lives from what we were to what we now are, He didn't just save us to look pretty. No, no. He didn't save us to look nice. He didn't save us just to come to church on a Sunday morning or on a Sunday evening or on a Tuesday night. But He saved us by His grace to be instruments that can be used for His glory. That's what He saved us for. Are we being used as instruments for His glory? There's a purpose for the call. In Jonah's case, it was 120,000 lives hanging in the balance. 120,000 lives hanging in the balance. And I wonder this morning, how many lives are hanging in the balance because of what you and I are doing in our lives as far as God is concerned? How many lives are hanging in the balance? Who's waiting out there for you and I to say God loves you? Who's waiting out there for you and I to say something encouraging to their hearts? Who's watching you and I by the lives that we live and the things that we do? Beloved, the world is watching. They don't read this book called the Bible anymore. This book has become irrelevant to the world. You know what they read? Your life and mine. And they don't read it just once a week. They read it every day of the week. They read the fine print. You know, we get in trouble lots of times because we don't read the fine print. But they read everything about my life and your life. And beloved, what is it that they're reading? Lives are hanging in the balance. You know, there's a song that we sing, and I've heard it just recently. I'm so glad that you gave. In response to men and women who committed their lives to Jesus Christ, and as a result of many young men, young women, older men, older women have accepted Christ and have gone on for the Lord. And that's what it's all about. Giving of our lives for the Master. Not running from God. The call from God should always be answered in our lives. What did Jonah do? He looks for a way out. He runs from God. He runs from his responsibility. He finds a ship. And guess where the ship is going?
The ship is going in the opposite direction from where God wants you to go.
Isn't that just like you and I sometimes? God says, do this, and we say, no, we're going to do this. God says, go there, and we say, no, we're going to go here. And we just go contrary to what God wants us to do. Jonah found a ship going in the opposite direction. Beloved, listen. Any time that we disobey God, rest assured, the devil has a ship waiting for us. Don't forget. Any time we disobey God's word or whatever we do contrary to the will of God, the devil has a ship waiting for us to get in. And rest assured, he's not going to take us to a meeting like this. He's going to take us in the opposite direction. Away from God. Away from the things of God and the places that we ought to be. A multitude of things he has at his command. As I said earlier, as the octopus, we see it. It's reaching out, drawing, attracting, taking our hearts and minds away from the Word of God and what God wants you and I as his children to really be. And I question this morning, are you and I in a boat? Are you and I disobedient to God today? I don't know. I don't know many of you. But God knows everyone. As you sit in this meeting this morning, God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He doesn't look at the nice suit that you have on or the nice dress that you have. Oh no. The Bible says that God looketh not at the outward appearance as men do, but God looks at the heart. He's looking at your heart today. He's looking at my heart. And even now, he's searching up. He says, God, that if you are, that you get out of that boat. That you ask God even now as you sit in your seat, oh, God, by your grace and mercy, help me to get out of this boat. Help me to turn my life around. Help me to go back to where you want me to go and be the man and the woman, the Christian that you want me to be. But you have to do it. If you want to get out of the boat, you've got to make a turnaround in your life. You've got to make a decision in your life that the boat is not the place to be. And beloved, if you don't, let me say this to you as we see in this passage of Scripture, that Jonah not only got in the boat, but the Bible says that he paid the fare. He paid the fare to travel on that ship. Oh, this morning, my friends, when we get out of the will of God, when we begin to disobey God, it will cost you something. It will cost you something. Maybe it already has, and maybe it even is this morning. It's costing you something in your life, in your home, in your job, in your marriage, in your church, whatever it may be. You're disobedient to God, and you're paying the price. It'll cost you something. The Bible says that God will chasten whom he loves. God will chasten whom he loves. And you know the sad part about it is, I've been wrong many times, because you and I made one mistake, because you and I were not willing to be obedient to God. The sailors in those ships, they were about to drown. The ship was about to go under, because Jonah disobeyed God. That's a lesson that you and I need to remember. When we come to the times in our lives when we give up on God, remember, there are consequences to pay. There are loved ones that will be hurt. There are friends that will be hurt. Whatever it may be. We need to keep this in our hearts and minds, because verse 4 says, God will send a storm. God sent out a great and a mighty wind, the scripture says, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. This was a storm of chastisement for a fleeing flock. A storm of chastisement for a fleeing flock. Oh, beloved,
What a storm it was. God never delights in sending storms. God never delights in sending storms. I have been through many storms in my life as well. Some perhaps of my own doing, some not, and we don't know. Maybe you're going through storms in your life as well, some perhaps of your own doing. We need to examine our hearts and see where we are, where we stand with God as Christians. As those who carry the name of Jesus Christ around with us wherever we go, in the tranquil seas. God would like us to always be there. But that's not always the case because we're disobedient. But you have to determine in your life that life isn't going the way that God wants it to go, neither the way that you want it to go, and you need to do something about it, and you need to do something about it now. Tomorrow may be too late. Tomorrow may be too late. God may be speaking to someone in this service this morning. All of the time. We know the story of the footprints in the sand. I think most everybody's probably got a copy of it attached to their refrigerator or somewhere in their home. And the story is that we all know that there was just one set of footprints in that sand. And the guy cried out, "Oh God, where were you when I needed you the most? Where were you?" God said, "My child, it was I. It was my footprints I was carrying you." God loves each of you this morning. God's desire is that we be more like Him each day in our lives. God's desire is that we obey Him, make every effort to please Him every day of our lives. And don't please Him because you heard the message this morning. Please Him because you love Him. Please Him because it's the desire of your heart to be more like Him. Please Him because you've got